from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hour three of the program. Great to have you with us today, and I hope things are going great wherever you might be today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our live show blog up and running over at toddstearns.com. And by the way, really excited about the brand new book coming out. We've still got a couple of months to go, but the publishing company is very anxious to get the pre-orders going. So we're introducing it to our audience. The book is my first non-political book. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And we would love to... it's a Southern-themed book. It's a collection of stories about growing up in the country, inspirational stories about regular Americans doing good deeds all over the nation. And we've got Bible verses and lots of delicious recipes. And we are very excited about this book project. My good friend Michelle Cox co-wrote this book with me and just did a terrific job. She is a well-known author in her own right and also a terrific Southern cook. She's from North Carolina, Western North Carolina. And our good friends, the Liberty Bells Literary Society out of Virginia, a lot of the ladies in that book club actually provided us with some delicious recipes. And I have to tell you, I was very surprised that a good many of them involved alcohol. We'll see how those recipes go. Before I go any further, though, I want to introduce a good friend of this program and the newest member of our team here. We dabble in a lot of news here on the program, and we thought, you know what, we need to get a senior correspondent for the Todd Starnes radio program, and we're honored to have a former colleague of mine at Fox News Channel, Caleb Park. Caleb, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd. It's good to be here in person in the studios, and my mouth is watering over here as you're talking about this devotion.
You know, I'm excited about this. We did have one problem, and it was the book cover, and the publisher, it's a New York publishing house, and they know more about bagels than biscuits. Mm. And the problem was that... when they sent us the image, the original book cover, it was very clear to me that they had gone online and they had gotten what appeared to be a canned biscuit and put that on the cover of our Daily Biscuit devotion book.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this because I don't know what the difference between a canned biscuit is and just a dog biscuit or what. Okay, I need to stop talking.
Yeah, you need to stop talking. You could have the shortest career of anyone here at the at Starnes Media Group. So let me explain the difference here. A canned biscuit is normally something that's very flat. It's real flaky and crispy, and it's a disaster. So what you want is a nice, fluffy buttermilk biscuit. And you brush the top of it with the butter so it gets golden brown.
Okay.
And you got to make it from scratch. You can't have a canned biscuit. Serving a canned biscuit, and I suspect we have a lot of Southern ladies that listen to this program, and I don't mean to stereotype, but most of the ladies in the South do the cooking, and then most of the guys do the grilling and the smoking of the pork, that is. And anyway, what were we talking about? We're talking about the biscuits. So you don't show up at the church on Wednesday night for church supper with store-bought chicken or canned biscuits.
Yeah, and I think I'm starting to get what you're talking about. It's the ones that are in that
you
gotta cylindrical.
Pop them. Yeah,
okay.
You got to pop it on the side of the.
Yeah,
yeah, you got it.
So those are the bad ones?
Yeah, those are the bad ones.
Okay.
I don't care who they are.
We grew up eating those at my house.
Where are you from?
I'm from Findlay, Ohio.
Well, that's why.
Okay.
There you go. You're not from the South.
Well, I've had a few. Okay, so I ordered avocado toast earlier in the week.
In Memphis. They have such a thing in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
Avocado toast.
I'm a big fan of avocado toast.
Oh, jeez, Alou.
So I ordered some, and it came not – I was thinking, okay, toast, you know, it came on a biscuit. And I was a little skeptical at first until I took my first bite. And I think I was in the room with Claire, and I just kept saying, wow, this is so good. And then I was like, I'm sorry,
So it was an avocado toast, but it was on a biscuit.
Yeah, it was
interesting.
So it was avocado smashed up. You know, it was the type of biscuit that you described, Southern style.
Yes,
and a fried egg, and from Rise. So there you
Rise,
go.
Yeah, Rise is a great biscuit place here in the Memphis area, over in Germantown. But that's exactly what our biscuit now looks like on the cover of this great book. So if you go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, you will see the cover of the new book, and it really looks terrific, done by our good friend Joseph Huntley, one of the best design guys in the business, a great American patriot, graduated from North Greenville University in South Carolina, and is absolutely wonderful. All that to say, get yourself a copy of this book. Pre-order it wherever you buy your book. Your books, it's like, what, $16? So it's a fun little book for you to read. And get a couple of others. Get one for the church library, too. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We are, of course, watching the developments on Capitol Hill, day 3 of the impeachment trial. Not much happening right now. But we do know that this narrative that the Democrats have been trying to create simply is not working. And they're rewriting whatever happened on January the 6th. And I say by whatever happened, because we don't know what happened. There are far too many unanswered questions. And I'm not willing to go down that path until we have all those questions answered. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on any of the late-breaking developments on Capitol Hill. In the meantime, Dave Ramsey is causing quite a bit of angst. We have the story up and the video at toddstearns.com. And Dave Ramsey makes a pretty good point. He says I think we've got the audio here. Claire, let's go ahead. This is Bill Hemmer. Dave Ramsey talking today on Fox News Channel.
Well, to start with, we need to understand we got $1.7 trillion in student loan debt. $192 billion out of that, not so much. Let's do some ratios, folks. If we're going to do math, we probably ought to play math. Now, on top of that, when you dig into it, the whole idea that student loans being forgiven is going to stimulate the economy, that assumes that people were getting ready to pay them off this year and instead would use that same $40,000 that they were getting ready to pay off their student loan and stimulate the economy with it. Again, that's economic hogwash. It's smoke and mirrors. It's simply not going to happen.
Dave, I just think there's a moral hazard doing this. You're
oh,
young.
Absolutely.
You signed a financial contract. You have an obligation to pay that money back.
Absolutely. Well, listen, there's some situations where folks are hurting, and this thing has become, it's gotten completely out of hand.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people's lives who have been destroyed by this program. Somebody needs some relief somewhere. I'm fine with that. But this has nothing to do with really helping people. This is a political gimme by progressives simply trying to buy votes. And we know that because when you go from $10,000 in forgiveness to $50,000 in forgiveness, the people who benefit are not lower income people. The vast majority of people that have an average income or less have less than $10,000 of student loan debt. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people who would be blessed by moving it from 10 to 50 are high income earners. So again, this is all political rhetoric.
You know,
it's not
Dave,
reality.
You come from an interesting perspective. You talk to Americans across the country every day on your radio program.
Yeah.
What do you believe is the right number or the right answer for the next stimulus check?
Well, I don't believe in a stimulus check, because if $600 or $1,400 changes your life, you were pretty much screwed already. You got other issues going on. You have a career problem, you have a debt problem, you have a relationship problem, you have a mental health problem. Something else is going on if $600 changes your life. And that's not talking down to folks. I've been bankrupt. I've been broken. I work with people every day who are hurting. I love people. I want people to be lifted up. But this is, again, it is just political rhetoric, and it's just throwing dollars out there. It's peeing on a forest fire.
You know, Dave Ramsey, peeing on a forest fire. You know, Caleb Park, I know that you know Dave Ramsey and, you know, the financial peace programs and all that kind of stuff. Very popular, especially in churches around the country. I mean, Dave raises a pretty fair point here.
I think a lot of people love Dave Ramsey. And when you hear what he, you know, he's getting slammed for that comment. But when you hear it in the context of everything he says, you know, he says he's against stimulus. So obviously he's not going to say something positive about a stimulus.
And the whole point here is, you know, if you are surviving on $600 a month in America, that's your income, then you do have bigger problems. I mean, it's next to impossible to do. And to his point, this is why it's all political theater. Because nobody is surviving on $600 a month. Nobody. If we want to stimulate the economy, let's reopen our businesses, let's get the kids back to school, and let's get back to work.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, get to the next baby step, you know, that's what it is about the Dave Ramsey. I'm a huge believer in Dave Ramsey's, you know, policies and
no debt.
Yeah, no debt.
And get out of debt.
Personal responsibility. Do everything you can to get out of debt. And so I don't think, you know, I don't think we should take this in a vacuum and slam him for it.
Wow. He is just, I mean, getting brutalized.
Yeah, he is getting, he's getting it on social media.
But, you know, beyond that, and Caleb, we're going to check back with you a little bit later this hour on some good news stories you're working on for the website. The broader issue here is this: is the fact that the Biden administration is going to forgive student loan debt. And at what point do you come in and you say, "Are you kidding me?" You know, these young people, when they sign their name to a document, they sign their name on the dotted line, promising to repay this money. What kind of a message does it send to these kids that you're just going to forgive that loan debt? But even beyond that, what kind of a message is it sending to all the people, all the young people that went out there who worked two or three or four jobs in college and actually paid off their debt? I mean, what's wrong to, and just again, what's wrong with going to a community college? If that's what you can afford, why not go to a community college instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars going to Harvard? You know, one of the funniest things I remember at Fox News, all of these people that I was working with, most of them went to Ivy League schools. I went to a small Christian college in the Deep South. And you know, it's interesting. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a job at Fox News. And you know what? It didn't cost me that much at all. So again, just because you look, Harvard is there, Yale is there, Princeton is there. And if you can afford it, that's great. But if you can't, don't expect me to pay for your tuition. So I'm curious, moms and dads, if the government comes out and says, you know what, we're going to forgive all student debt, is that a good idea? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show on this very cold and I know it's a little gloomy looking outside, but we're having a pretty good time on the radio. Let's get to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Greg in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Greg, what's on your mind today? Hello, Greg. All right. Well, we'll try to figure out what's going on with Greg, and we'll try to get back to him. Not quite sure what that is, but you know how the phones go. By the way, this is a fascinating question. If they're gonna forgive the debt, the student loan debt of all these young people out there in college, what about all of us old people? I mean, how far back are they willing to go as far as forgiving this loan debt? I mean, at what point do you draw the line and say, okay, all of you people are basically going to get a free education courtesy of the American taxpayer. It does make you wonder where people draw the line. But going back to Dave Ramsey, you may disagree with the way he says it, but he's got a pretty terrific point. This stimulus check money is not going to make that much of a difference. It's just not. When I was in New York City, and they were originally, we were in the early stages of the China virus of the pandemic, and they were saying, well, these people need to pay their rent. Okay, well, if you're living in New York City, you're not paying $600 a month for an apartment. You're not even paying $1,200 a month for an apartment. I mean, you're spending thousands of dollars every month just to have a place to live. So I knew at that point that it was a load of hooey. Let's go to the phones. Pastor Matthew from Missouri, what do you think about Dave Ramsey here?
Yeah, his point is really good. By the way, everybody needs to like, follow, subscribe, hit up Brother Todd on Twitter, and if you do Instagram, all the ways, social media ways, he needs you guys to come in and increase his following. And also make sure you subscribe on his website. Great stuff. I really applaud your site, Todd, because you intentionally do not do long articles. I mean, you could delve and you kind of give us the, so it's not, and it comes up and they're really interesting, but they're not hard. So I really ask people out there to go to his website and sign up. But he didn't pay me to do that. I'm going to give it a take.
Well, you're very kind to say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important as people get connected, and especially that website, because you know, it's almost like what you're going to start having this segment, what website who has banned me on social media this week. It'll be like an annual thing every week, but he needs you to sign up on that website. Anyway, let me get to my point. His point is valid. I mean, I know people are getting upset and, you know, throwing a fit, but just step back and think about it for a minute. Just be logical. Okay, if $600 or whatever they're going to give you is going to make the difference. Yeah, maybe this week it'll make a difference, but it's what Dave is all about is not solving your long-term reasons. And yes, we all would say, man, get a $600 check in the mail, that's pretty cool. I'd rather us get it than all the foreign people that the Democrats like to send it. But at the end of the day, if you're sitting there, it's going to make that big a difference, you really have more fundamental problems in your finances. So that's kind of, I'm just like, okay, why are people getting upset? And the other thing, the bigger question, I wish, Todd, you would ask this, even some of the Republicans.
Real quick.
So they will say like, well, $600 billion, it's almost like at the end of the day, both parties really don't care about the budget. And it's
no, they don't care. No, they don't care. Thanks, about the budget. All right. No, they don't. And that's my biggest problem. When are we going to get all this spending under control? Unbelievable. Pastor Matthew, thanks for the call. Got to take a quick break here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, so the Wall Street Journal is out with a very interesting statement. This is from the entire editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, and they are blaming everything that happened on January 6th on President Trump. This is the headline of the op-ed, the Trump impeachment evidence. He might be acquitted, but he won't live down his disgraceful conduct. I'm just going to read the first graph here. Whether a former president ought to be subject to an impeachment trial is a matter of constitutional debate. Whether it's prudent if acquittal appears likely is a related question. But wherever you come down on those issues, the House impeachment managers this week are laying out a visceral case that the Capitol riot of January 6th was a disgrace for which President Trump bears responsibility. Long before November, Mr. Trump was saying the only way he could lose the election was if it were rigged. And by the way, that's true. On the night of the vote, he tweeted they are trying to steal the election. Again, that's true. He tweeted they are trying to steal the election. In his speech that night, he called it a fraud on the American public. Again, that is true. And he said, frankly, we did win. Is it a surprise that some of his fans took his words to heart? Instead of bowing to dozens of court defeats, and just hold on a second here, that's playing with a word, because the fact is, judges would not allow evidence to be presented. Now, you can call that a defeat if you want to, but that's a big difference than being able to present all of your evidence in a courthouse and then having the judge or having a jury look at all of that evidence and weigh whether or not it's true or not. There's a big difference there. The Wall Street Journal goes on to say that President Trump escalated the case. He falsely claimed that Vice President Mike Pence, if only he had the courage, could reject electoral votes and stop Democrats from hijacking democracy. Well, and again, that may be true. That is his interpretation, just like it is the interpretation of Democrats. They have a constitutional right to impeach a former president of the United States. That is up for constitutional debate. So it's very interesting to me, and both sides are guilty of this. They play politics with the Constitution. So anyway, the Wall Street Journal here is basically trying to destroy Donald Trump's reputation within the conservative world. And I'm not quite sure that this is going to work. I'm not sure how many of you folks actually read the Wall Street Journal. And I'm not sure if this is going to sway your opinion one way or the other. But I want to read the final graphs here. There's no defense for Mr. Trump's conduct on January the 6th and before. Mitch McConnell is reportedly telling his GOP colleagues that the decision to convict or acquit is a vote of conscience and that it's appropriate. After the Electoral College vote on December 14th, Mr. Trump could have conceded defeat and touted his accomplishments. Now his legacy will be forever stained by the violence and by his betrayal of his supporters and refusing to tell them the truth. Whatever the result of the impeachment trial, Republicans should remember the betrayal of Mr. Trump if he decides to run in 2024. Now, I want to ask you a very simple question. Do you believe this? Do you believe the president's legacy is going to be stained by whatever happened on January the 6th? Do you believe that's a possibility? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, one of the things we've been trying to do on our website, we cover a lot of culture news. We cover a lot of political news. And there's a lot of heavy stuff on our page. And so one day we were sitting around and we said, you know what? We need to get some lighter fare. We need some good news on the Todd Starnes radio page. And that brings us to our senior correspondent, Caleb Park. And one of your responsibilities, Caleb, is to go out there and find these good news stories that remind us that we're not going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, I think we could all use a break from the impeachment trial. And I'm here to help with that. And so I got a few stories that we can talk about to shine a little bit of light in this darkness.
And these stories are available for people to read on the website.
Yes, they're available at toddstarnes.com. And we put them out, you know, regularly. So try to get as many as we can in there to make sure that you guys are, you know, getting positive, encouraging stories and it's not all doom and gloom all the time.
All right, well, let's get started here. So the first story involves Chick-fil-A.
Yes. So this is in Appleton, Wisconsin, and a Chick-fil-A employee won a brand new car during their company annual Christmas party raffle. And her name's Haley Bridges, and the 17-year-old, as soon as she heard her name, she knew exactly what she was going to do with that car. And she looked over at her friend, whose nickname is Hoku from Hawaii, and she immediately gave it to her because her friend had been biking to work, 2 hours each way. And this is a girl from Hawaii. So she's doing this in Appleton, Wisconsin.
In the middle? Why would you move from Hawaii to Appleton, Wisconsin? No offense to Appleton, yeah, Wisconsin.
That I don't know, but she did work at Chick-fil-A, and she loved her job enough to bike in the snow, and this is through winter. So, so they embraced each other, and it's a really cool story. And so Haley, before they said, you know, if we win this, we're going to give her the car, because obviously she'd been riding her bike this whole time, and she said no one deserves it more than her friend. And
you know, something always good is going down at the Chick-fil-A. I know they've had some bad press with their, you know, the executive level, but on the local level, you know, they're still out there doing good deeds for everybody.
Yeah, you always feel a little better when you get the kindness from the Chick-fil-A employees and the quick service.
And that's right. I mean, you could be in the drive-thru, there could be 25 cars, but you're 3 minutes and you got your food.
Yeah, you bet. And then our next story, we have Valentine's Day coming up.
Yes. So before you get to that story, I have to say something. Valentine's Day, I didn't realize this was a big deal, but apparently a lot of guys like to take their gals to the Waffle House.
Oh.
And many, I know it's shocking, but in Tri-Cities, Tennessee, we have a lot of listeners in that part of the country. This is from WJHL. Waffle House giving couples the chance to make a romantic reservation. So they're actually taking reservations for Valentine's Day at the Waffle House.
That sounds pretty nice, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get your waffles and your hash browns there, scattered, covered, and smothered, and you can share a Valentine across the table there as the waitress, you know. I am curious, though. Hold down. We're going to get to your story in just a second here. I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to go out for Valentine's Day, where would you go? Would it be the Waffle House, or would it be Ruth's Chris, which is my personal favorite, or the Houston's restaurant, or maybe Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
If Valentine's Day's out on Sunday.
Heart-shaped nuggets.
A heart-shaped chicken. All right, 844-747-8868. So what's going on here? We got a love story.
Yes, this is a love story 59 years in the making. So Vietnam veteran Dennis Reynolds and his wife Diane, both 77, met at Sand Valley Junior High in San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles when they were just 13 years old. They married in 1961 on Veterans Day when they were 18. But they divorced 4 years later and drifted apart. Both of them got remarried, had families of their own. But last February, they met up. Their kids kind of reconnected them. And Diane moved back in with Dennis and then they remarried again on Veterans Day last year in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic on the day of their original wedding anniversary, 59 years later. And
a terrific story.
It is. And for a late wedding and Christmas present, Dennis is building the dream home for Diane.
Really? And so they're building a house?
Yes, through Veterans United Home Loans. He's using his home loan benefit for vets to build that dream home for her. And Diane gave some pretty good advice. She said, "Never give up. You never know. I think if you let true love work, you'll find a way."
Well, there you go. Yep. All right. Good stuff and good news. And you can find all of that information on our website. All of those stories are written by our senior correspondent here at the show, Caleb Park. Caleb, good to see you.
Yeah, it was good to share. And I also will be sharing those on my newsletter that you guys can sign up in those stories as well. So
excellent.
Check that out.
All right. By the way, and this is not good news, but it is related to Waffle House. From Denton, Texas, police arrest a 51-year-old woman. She apparently got very upset with her boyfriend because he would not take her to the Waffle House. So she beat the living daylights out of the guy.
Come on, man.
It's a terrible story there. I guess she really liked Waffle House. All right, got to take a break here, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, Sarah Carter is coming on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation. Breaking down the impeachment trial. Should be wrapped up very soon. And we all know how it's going to turn out, but that's not the point here. I want to go back to something Tucker Carlson was talking about last night on Fox. And he's catching a whole lot of grief for it today because he's making the point that the mainstream media's narrative about a story doesn't necessarily add up over time. And you go back to George Flynn. Now we know because of the medical examiner report that the guy was on the verge or may have had an overdose. I want to play and we're going to play some local audio here. Cut number four. Okay, so we'll try to get back to that audio in just a little bit. But the whole point of this medical examiner report is that he had fatal levels of drugs in his system. Fatal. When he was taken into custody by the police. And granted, what we all saw happen in the on the street there was incredibly outrageous and inappropriate, and it violated police procedure and policy, and the police officer who put his knee on the neck of George Flynn is going to pay the price for that. He's going to suffer for that. But the reality is that there was more to the story, just like what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. Remember the hands up, don't shoot? It never happened. That absolutely never happened. And there is video evidence of the actual shooting that backs up that statement. So it did not happen. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little frustrated with the mainstream media. You want to talk about inciting riots, inciting insurrection. That's what the mainstream media is doing right now. That's what CNN is doing right now. That's what MSDNC is doing right now. Every time they get out there and they advance some sort of a narrative, remember the guy when Minneapolis was burning down and you had the guy, and it was either CNN or MSDNC, and the guy was standing there, the Chiron said, oh, mostly peaceful protest, and it looked like Berlin after the bombings in World War II. Again, they're trying to force a narrative. How about this? Why don't you just give us the facts? Good, bad, just give us the facts. Give us the news. Don't try to stir something up. You want to know why they went with the George Floyd? You want to know why they went with that narrative? Because they knew it was going to hurt Trump. You had Democrats in this country. You had these radicals with Black Lives Matter. They were hoping for a race war in America. Who would do something like that? Who would actually hope for something of that nature? Why would they do that? Explain that to me. Well, the answer is very simple. They hated this man so much. They hated his supporters so much that they wanted to create something in this country that would destroy this country. And that's why you had the riots. That's why you have Antifa out there. That's why you had that's why you had Black Lives Matter out there. And keep in mind, what is Black Lives Matter? What is their goal? I mean, all you have to do is go to their website. They're not ashamed of it. They put it out there for all of you to see. Among the things they want to do is dismantle the traditional American nuclear family. That's their stated purpose and goal. So this has nothing to do with race. This has everything to do with an ideology that is contrary to the foundations of this country. going back to the very beginning of the show, we were talking about the Mandalorian actor and how she is facing the cancel culture mob right now. Not because of something that she said that she should not have said. What she said was fair. What she said was not offensive. What she was making a pretty darn good point that what was happening here in this country sure does look a heck of a lot like what's happening or what happened in Nazi Germany. Now, the left makes that argument all the time. How many times have they called Donald Trump Hitler? I mean, really, how many times? How many times have we seen pictures of AOC and others down at the border with the kids behind the fences that Barack Hussein Obama erected, those cages? And they compare those to the concentration camps. I mean, you know, we could do this all day long, but the reality is we've got to do this. We've got to expose this stuff, and we've got to make sure that you are equipped with the truth. Facts matter. You don't have a right to your own fact. You don't. But here we are in a country where truth is irrelevant, and this is what happens. And unfortunately, if it's left unanswered, unaddressed, we're going to destroy the country. We're just going to, it's going to implode or explode. And that's what happened on January the 6th, I think, because we still don't have all of the facts. They would have you believe that seven people actually died inside that building, the U.S. Capitol. We now know that not to be the case. We don't know exactly how a lot of these people died, except for the one person, the Trump supporter who was gunned down by Capitol Police in the U.S. Capitol building. So we're going to keep telling these stories. We're going to keep fighting every single day. That's what we do. We're not going to back down, folks. We are not going to back down. Not on this program. I can promise you that. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. It's been a great day. TonStearns.com. Be sure to check out all of the great features we have on the website, our radio store, all sorts of great stuff for you to buy there. You can also get some free stuff, too. TonStearns.com. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.